Coming up on today's show.
Anything I do is not for my glory. It is for God's glory. If I am able to heal a patient or make them better, it's not that I'm so great. It's that God allowed me to help heal that person.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net or CatholicSportsRadio.com. They will both land you on the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. How do we speak when we are frustrated? I was watching a National Hockey League game recently where a player was given a 10-minute misconduct penalty. The broadcasters specified that it was for abuse of officials. They showed a replay, and then one of the color commentators said, yeah, he was really giving it to him, meaning that the player was berating the referee. We all see this in sports, do we not? An umpire ejecting a manager from a baseball game, a referee throwing a flag in a football game for unsportsmanlike conduct. And isn't that the way it should be? What kind of example is being set if foul language goes unpunished? Think of our legal system and the expectation for decorum in the court and showing respect for the judge. Or gosh, even someone whose shopping cart hits yours in the supermarket. Our Heavenly Father wants us all to remember His way at all times and let peace prevail, not tear each other down. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, quote, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse one breaks the spirit." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest works as a sports medicine podiatrist. At Princeton University, he had played 4 years of varsity baseball and 1 year of varsity hockey. In high school, he had played 4 years of varsity hockey, freshman baseball and 3 years of varsity baseball, and freshman football and 3 years of varsity football. He also played youth baseball and hockey, as well as CYO hockey for two different parishes. While he was taking pre-med courses, he even played club rugby. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Michael Donato.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Thanks for making time to talk with me today.
That was a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's get started by having you share with the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I am from Boston, Massachusetts. I was raised in the Hyde Park section of Boston and born in Roslindale. I am one of five children. I am the second. There's my sister, then me, and then three brothers below me. So it's good Irish Catholic, Italian Catholic family mixture.
Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Donato household when you were a young boy, including Catholic education that you received.
Sure. So with us, everything came from the family starting first. So, my grandparents were, very Catholic, very never missed a mass. Everything was about faith. Same thing with my parents growing up. Always felt that. And always felt, that strong you know, being a Christian gentleman your entire life. Everything you did was in that light. And, you know, so when I was in the third grade, I ended up going to Catholic school, as the rest of my family did. And we had, I don't remember the order, but there was Polish nuns that reinforced the same lessons that our parents were teaching us at home. Mm. We didn't learn our prayers at school. We learned our prayers at home. Mm. And then we brought that to school, you know. And at the school I went to, you know, being you're Polish, so that I think of the Our Lady of Częstochowa was always on the wall. It was in our chapel. It was everything. And there was a great teaching of the love for the Virgin Mary, you know, that we always had. And then when I went to high school, it was with the Christian Brothers of Ireland. But maybe think about what it means to be a Catholic and you know, and how to grow as a Catholic. It's not just going to Mass and that's it. There's self-education and everything along that way. And I think of there was a brother, Brother Cronin, and I remember it was my freshman year, and he said, "I'm not just a Catholic. I have my own religion. It's called Croninism." And what he meant was that, you know, Catholic Church, they kind of set the rules, you know, about, you know, what you need to do, all the good things, but it's your self-education and your own relationship with God as it pertains, you know, to all of that. So it's two-sided. It's not just, you know, you have to develop yourself as a Catholic as part of that, which is kind of what they taught us in school, which was, very helpful. You know, even won the religious studies award when I was a junior. And it was just, again, it was such an interest in that type of our religion. And
what were the names of those two schools that you attended? And oh boy, am I nervous to ask you the follow up, which is the grammar school still in existence?
Okay. Well, it was the Lieutenant Joseph P. Kennedy Junior Memorial School, and it is no longer in existence.
Oh man.
Now the high school still is. The high school, it was the Catholic Memorial High School in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. It's still thriving. Still, it's a hockey and football powerhouse in Boston. So it's a lot of fun.
And do I get this right? Is there someone in your extended family that is a priest? Do I have that right?
Yeah, my cousin Peter Walsh is a Holy Cross father at Portland University.
Okay. Well, wow. Adding in rugby, you played four different sports over time. I'm guessing since he was signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates that your dad was largely responsible for you having gotten into playing sports so much. And by the way, do we assume that baseball was your best sport since you played 4 years at Princeton?
Yeah, it was. And it was a different time too, Bruce, because when we were growing up, and as I think I didn't mention this, but my brother was a professional hockey player, Olympics and all that, my brother Teddy. But when we grew up, hockey players before 1980 in the Olympic team, that was a Canadian thing. You know, I mean, it was, you went to college and the best an American would do would be go to play in the Olympics. So my father, having been a baseball player, coach and all that, you know, we naturally grew to, you know, to baseball. Baseball was a sport. We loved it. You know, we found other sports like football and we played hockey too. But we didn't really see that as something, you know, as kids, you want to be a professional baseball player or a hockey player, whatever. But at that time, it wasn't common for an American to be in the NHL. So it wasn't something big on our list of things as it is now. My father was, you know, is interesting because, like I said, he had played in the Pirate organization, tore his rotator cuff after making the team. And those were good teams in the late 50s, early 60s. I mean, with, you know, Roberto Clemente and people like that. I mean, they were loaded with talent. He was a you know, very good baseball player. But, you know, I never in my entire life heard him once say to us, you know, "Oh, I could have been this. I wish it was this." He never said that to us. Mm. He just, you know, dealt with what he had and kept teaching us. And the only thing he ever said to us four boys who played was, "Hey, get good grades." Mm. You know, I mean, and that's all he would say. You know, he'd say, "Yeah." Oh, he would say, "The least you can do is hustle." You know, I mean, those two things. We weren't pushed. We were not pushed into sports. We loved it. And I'm telling you, in the inner city at that time, it was, you know, thank God we were in sports because it kept us out of a lot of the other trouble things that were going on at the time in Boston. So.
Well, there's an inspirational story about your grandfather that I would love for you to share. If you could tell the audience what I'm referring to, please.
Sure. My grandfather was big, tough, strong Italian. Parents from Italy. Grew up, used to box, and you know, self-made man. You know, did great. So when he was 63 years old, he was working about a mile from his house. He came home, he ate lunch, and he's washing his car. He lived at the bottom of a hill. He hears a rustle in the neighbor's yard. He stands up. A car comes crashing into his car, crashing into him, and actually moves the foundation of the house that hit it so hard. Mm. Okay. He was in shock at the time. So when the police came, everyone, I mean, he was talking to them, you know, just total shock. He, for 2 years, you know, multiple surgeries, and then in rehab hospital for 2 years. Okay. My grandmother, who had had a car accident when she was young with my uncles and aunt, she could never drive again. Just too psychologically, just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So after 2 years of in and out of the hospital, all this stuff, you know, he eventually, and I attribute this to his strong faith more than anything else. You know, he's just, you know, always his faith in God was just straight out. You could see it every time you talked to him. But he basically, he learned how to drive with the hand adjustable things instead of, because he couldn't use his legs anymore. Mm. He had metal rods sticking out of his legs because
wow.
He refused to give up on that. You know, he just refused to, they wanted to take both his legs. He just said no. But he would, that's he would come to all of our games as our kids. He'd take us, drive us over, because it was four boys going in all different directions with sports. You know, he would need to pitch in there, and he always did. He'd take us wherever we went. You know, the only big regret I have is I know he is planning on, he died just before the Olympics, and he was planning on going to my brother's, you know, somehow finding a way to get over to France to see that. But I mean, it was just an incredible inspiration for us. I mean, you know, when you're having a bad day, I mean, he had a really bad day.
You said that he had just come home from work and was washing the car. So did this accident end up putting him out of work too?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He never could work again. And
oh.
I guess, again, different time. My grandmother used to work at Boston Latin School as a cafeteria person. And she had, you know, never missed a day work. So she had like 2 years of that she could still get full pay while going over to the hospital and seeing him all the time. So things worked out that way. But I mean, it was just, I said, when you see someone that strong, you know what I mean? Like when you're having a bad day and you're whining to yourself about something, you go like, you know what? I have no right to whine. You know, I think about what Gramps went through, you know what I mean? It's just, there's no way.
Yeah. And audience, the fact that it's all these years later and Michael is still talking about it as though it was last week shows you how impactful that was for him. But the reason that I followed up with that question about was he able to work again is because Michael said, no, he wasn't. And you also heard him say that they wanted to take his grandfather's legs. So for someone like that to still have his faith really says a lot about how devoted he was as a Catholic, but also the great example that he set for his grandchildren that, as I said, Michael's still talking about it in 2026. Michael, tell us about attending Princeton University, meaning the success of your 1985 team, why you only played 1 year of hockey there, as well as what your faith life looked like then, what with being away from home.
Sure. So as far as when I was a freshman, I came in, I was recruited for two sports, and I played hockey and baseball. And in the fall, my baseball coach was, both coaches were nutty. You know how it was a different time where they're in your face, they're screaming and yelling at you. It was just the way coaches were back then. I mean, it's just, you know, you kind of dealt with it, you know, and my baseball coach required me to go to baseball practice before I would go to hockey practice.
Mm.
So I was practicing twice a day, you know, all fall, you know, until, you know, then hockey season. We, you know, all the traveling that went along with hockey season came back, and then, you know, baseball season, it was a long season. And the hockey coach, he wasn't, I said, he, again, with all the insanity that went around with it, I didn't feel like I was learning anything from him. Whereas my high school coach, this guy named Billy Hansen, who was, you know, he had probably 12, 14 state championships in hockey.
Wow.
And he was really good friends with Jack Parker, had gone to my high school, the old coach at BU. And, you know, hockey was evolving at the time, before it was dump the puck in the corner and go and smash someone. And it was starting to develop into systems and things like that. And this coach really learned a lot. So we were learning the beginnings of what was starting to come out at that time. And then in college, I just didn't feel like I was developing anymore. And it's just, you know, in baseball team, we had a good team. So, you know, when I was a junior, we went to the NCAA, we won the Ivy League. We beat Harvard in a, it was a playoff game because we had equal tied records. And then we got to go to the NCAA tournament. Well, usually the NCAA tournament at that time is hosted by, it would be someone typically in our region would be someone like Seton Hall or someone like that that was always good. But you had to both have offered to sponsor it, then made the NCAA tournament, or you couldn't, or there was no one to sponsor it. So that year, none of the teams that traditionally made it were able to go. St. John's, all these teams that were traditionally really good in that area. So they put us in the region with the number one team in the country, which was Miami, University of Miami, who won the national championship that year. They absolutely crushed us. I mean, it was still fun. It was a great experience going down there.
Yeah.
Great group of guys. You know, like we still get together. We just went down a couple of weeks ago and Duke was playing Princeton. And so we went and caught a game, just, you know, catch up, you know, again, that band of brothers type of thing, you know what I mean?
We're fellowship.
Still, you know, I guess we had been through a lot of trauma with our crazy coach, you know what I mean? but in a way, again, you know, there's good parts that come out of that too. You know?
Yeah, good fellowship. Friends, you heard me introduce Michael as a sports medicine podiatrist. He says that he actually looks at his work in that role in two Bible quotes. Before I have him reveal what those two are and how they relate to him being a sports medicine podiatrist, think back to the Catholic education he received. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholicFoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Friends, you have heard that expression, the more things change, the more they stay the same. This Thursday, April 16, the 2026 National Hockey League regular season will end, and then it's time for the playoffs. One thing that will change is that there will be a new Stanley Cup champion this year, since the Florida Panthers are not qualifying for the postseason this time around. Recently on this show, I reported that I had received a bill from GoDaddy. I did not want to confuse anyone, but just to pull back the curtain a wee bit, that was for the renewal of a domain name that the folks who had built the Catholic Sports Radio website had suggested I purchase, because it's one that's not quite the right name, but something that people might inadvertently type into their web browser, and thus they would still land on the show website. It's pretty clever, actually. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. Having paid that one, now I received the bill from them for the renewal of CatholicSportsRadio.com, which you hear me say at the start of the show every week will also get you to the website, just like CatholicSportsRadio.net will. So if you are keeping score at home, three different domains that I own and have to keep paying the renewal for. So what's changing? The domain they're billing me for this time. What's staying the same? The fact that I'm getting yet another bill for operating this ministry. If you are new to Catholic Sports Radio, that's what this is for me. It's neither my full nor my part-time job. It is a call that I answered from the Lord to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ through time and talent. What does all that mean? It means that I have to somehow try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. I do hope that you enjoy what I'm doing each week on this show, and that it is helping you in your faith life, and that you see value in my work and would like to help support my efforts. The simplest way to send in a gift is through the blue Donate to CSR button on the CatholicSportsRadio.net homepage. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and it will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, and by the way, this helps if you are someone that does not want to put credit card information online, you can get in touch with me through the website, social media, or writing to me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending a check through the mail. Either way, whether you give online or send a check through the mail, as you have heard me do when guests and listeners have made a contribution, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode as a public thanks for your support of this ministry. Or, as some have chosen to do, you can direct me to instead merely keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing, as I continue working to bring us all further in our walk with Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Michael, before all that, I was alluding to two Bible verses that you look at your work in, but answer this question before we come back to that one. As much as we talked about the sports you played there, you graduated from Princeton with a BA in economics. How does one go from that to suddenly feeling called to service through medicine? Because you went off to the other side of the country, to California College of Podiatry Medicine in San Francisco.
Yes. So when I graduated school, when I went to school, I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. I love sports. You know, I mean, that was my next thing. And, my father's like, well, why don't you major in business? You know, like, But the closest thing to that was economics. It was dismal to me. It didn't mean anything. I wasn't, it's funny. Maybe it's our Catholic faith, but it was never about money to me. It still isn't. Like, it's meaningless to me. So to me, to work in the field, now, don't get me wrong, there are people who do great things and very positive things in that field. And it's, they can be very fulfilled, but it wasn't fulfilling to me. So I felt like I needed to do something to help people. My father had been a teacher coach, but it really wasn't, there weren't great opportunities for that in Boston with busing and all the other nonsense that was going on. And my grandfather had been an optician, and he said, Mike, why don't you, go back and go talk to a couple of my friends. And I went and looked there, and my wife had just been entered the Air Force as an attorney. And I went down to Georgia, took the pre-med classes, and as I was doing it, podiatry just seemed like the best fit for me. Had the lowest divorce rate, the most satisfied doctors in the group. So it was just like it just seemed like a better fit for me.
Interesting.
And again, it had that sports medicine component. So
where in all this, you had mentioned in the lead up to today, one-on-one, you and I, you had mentioned that you worked in the mutual fund industry. And I think you said that you didn't find that fulfilling, as you just started to allude to. When was that happening?
That was right after I graduated college. I came out and I was working up in Boston, and I was working, I don't even need to name the company, but I was working for a company in the mutual fund industry. I just did not feel like this was me. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
I see. Yeah.
I just wasn't feeling it.
You could tell that wasn't your calling.
It's not my calling, is right. It's like, like I said, things feel right. You pray, you try to figure out which direction I'm going to go in. And I knew this just wasn't the direction. And it was a tough question I had to ask myself at the time, because I hadn't taken the pre-med courses. I mean, physics for poets at Princeton wasn't going to get me anywhere into a medical school. So I had to retake those classes. And it was going to be a 10-year thing. I didn't take 2 years of basically pre-med courses. I needed to go to 4 years of school and 3 more years of residency before I'd even be making any money. So It's like, it's one of those things, you think on it, you pray on it, and you say, like, if it was 10 years from now and I look back, would I wish I had done that? And that's when I said, yeah, I will have wished I had done that. So I just, sucked it up. And then, the lessons you also learn through sports, it's, you're on the ground, you get yourself back up, you work hard, to achieve a goal, and you just go after it, And that's what I did.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said. A lot of it reminds me about a call to the priesthood, right? Or even to the diaconate. And yeah, 10 years, as you said that, I was really impacted by that. That somebody in your position might go, whoa, hold on a minute, 10 years, that's a big chunk of my life. But now you look back and you say, I'm really glad that I did it. And, like you say, before I really start making any money, and then you think about the sacrifices that men who go into the priesthood make, that they say, I'm going to vow to a life of, and all the things that they give up, and they say, yeah, it was absolutely worth it, all those years I had to spend in the seminary. So on a related note, go ahead now and share with us what those two Bible verses are that you look at your work in.
Sure. One is Galatians 6:14. That states, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In my life, that pretty much means like anything I do is not for my glory. It is for God's glory. If I am able to heal a patient or make them better, it's not that I'm so great. It's that God allowed me to help heal that person. I never think of it any way that except that way, that God has given me a gift, granted me the gift of being allowed to, through him, work and help someone else out. Again, in sports, we stay humble. And this is, part of that humility. It's just you must stay humble and understand like where anything you do comes from God originally. You didn't come up with anything, out of by yourself.
Let me jump in because you said in sports, we stay humble. Unfortunately, we all know of a lot of people who don't stay humble in sports. So God bless you that it seems so natural to you and that you are operating from that place of humility. But I'm sorry, I just wanted to throw that in. Please continue because I want the audience to hear the second Bible verse as well that you feel is part of your work.
In Matthew 7:12, so in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. I like simple things, and that's a very simple quote. And in the same light, I ask myself every time I see a patient, when I think about the treatment options, and in my head, these are the words I use, is, if this was my family member, what would I do?
Ooh.
And if I don't ask that question, and I hear when I talk to, sometimes I talk to other doctors or things like that, and they say something else, and I said, but again, if it was your family member, would you have done that?
Wow.
And especially, I saw some of the crazy things that people have done. I go, there's no way you would have done that if that was your family member, And that's how it keeps you grounded. And that again, they call it practice for a reason. We're definitely not perfect, but we at least can be well-intentioned every time to try to do the right thing, whether someone's looking or not. Even if it's a bad day, and that patient's going to require you to spend another half hour sitting there going through a bunch of stuff. You know what? If it was your family member, would you do it for them? Mm. Yeah, you absolutely would have. So
good.
Just suck it up and do the right thing.
So good. So good. And the other element in all of that, combining those together, is that it's very easy to get caught up in bragging about who you treated and who your patients are and this athlete and this athlete and puffing out your chest and letting everybody know what you did to get that person back out on the field, back out on the court, back out on the ice. And that humble approach is, like you said, I just look at these people, Bruce, like I'm treating a family member, never mind what their name or their status is.
Absolutely. Again, it's just people of all different races, religions, beliefs. That's not my business when they're in the room with me. Mine is trying to help them get better. So what do I do for a family member? That's how I think of it. And I think it keeps everything simple for me.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Present day, you're actually living and working in Fredericksburg, Virginia. First question is, how in the world did someone with deep roots in the Boston area who went away to podiatry school in San Francisco end up in Virginia? And the second question is, what Major League Baseball team and what National Hockey League team do you root for?
Okay, so I did my residency up at Yale. Okay, so that was nice. I went from California, which was a great place to go to school, San Francisco, beautiful city and a great school, and then came out back to Yale and looking for a job. And some of the guys that were training me at the time had a previous fellow come through there who was from Long Island, a guy named Steve Carley, fantastic guy, and said, hey, Mike, can you go down and talk to this guy. He's like you. He's a good guy. He's someone that, you guys could go into practice together.
Hmm.
And it worked out. I mean, that's how, we've been together, forever. And if you can, say a prayer for him because he has Parkinson's right now.
Oh, boy.
But beyond that, I mean, he's just a top-notch person, top-notch family, really just a good person, and that's how I ended up down here, is through him.
Okay.
in that option.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're not going to say the Washington Nationals and the Washington Capitals, but that's okay. Surprise me.
Well, okay. So, first of all, it's the Red Sox, okay, in baseball, all right? In hockey, the Bruins, I love the Bruins, except there's times when their owner would pretty much say, I don't care whether they win or lose. I just care, you know, whether, you know, it's profitable to me.
Ooh.
So when I came down here, and this was when they still, the Capitals still had Jaromir Jagr, and they were struggling. When they drafted Alex Ovechkin and then Backstrom, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to take a chance and ride on this team.
Wow.
And I've been following the Capitals ever since. And they did reward me with a Stanley Cup, which
yeah.
is nice. But just a, they've been a fun team to watch for the years. So I still root for the Bruins, don't get me wrong. But, you know, except when they're playing the Caps.
Yeah, when you started into that, I went, wait a minute, your brother played for the Bruins. You can't say another team. But when you said what you said, I thought, well, except in that case.
Well, yeah, so he played for the Bruins and we also played for several other teams. And then my nephew, who plays for the Chicago Blackhawks right now, was also drafted by the Bruins. And then he's played in a few teams, but now he's settled in Chicago. So he's doing great there.
You say that you put family, school, and sports together, quote, since they complement each other, end quote. Why do you feel that way?
In my life, my Catholic faith, I mean, my family always came first. It doesn't even have to be verbal. It's just things, you know, the way people held themselves, everything. At school, you know, you get that chance, you know, the Catholic education to learn so much more about your faith. And I still even remember, like, we didn't get to do, like, confirmation was done at the local church, not at the school. And it just the amount of knowledge of Catholicism that I had versus some of the public school kids was night and day.
Hmm.
And then, you know, through sports reinforces all those lessons in life. You know, I mean, you know, there's times when you lose, you got to pick yourself back up. You know, how you treat, you know, like your sportsmanship, how you treat other people, you know, just there's so many little lessons in sports that every day, you know, you think about and that just kind of overlap with that. So those three things kind of together are my faith, you know, I mean, in so many ways, you know, so.
Yeah, nicely said, nicely said. Let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Okay, so my wife, Robin, we've been married since 1988, 37 years currently.
Wow.
She's just 2 days ago retired from the United States Air Force Reserve as a colonel.
Mm.
She's a JAG Corps. I met her at Princeton, where she was a cheerleader and a student manager of the baseball team junior and senior year. I have two fantastic sons. I mean, in this way the world is today, I feel so blessed. Michael's 28 years old, works the National Park Service. He's the acting deputy superintendent of National Capital Series East. He went to William & Mary and has a master's in public administration from Virginia Tech. My son Brian is over in the middle of what's going on in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. He's 27 year old, used to be a wildland firefighter, but now he's an ensign in the U.S. Navy on the USS Arleigh Burke, which is based out of Rota, Spain. He went to Virginia Tech and got his master's in natural resource from the University of Idaho. But I'm just, you know, so lucky that both my kids kind of followed after my wife and myself. There's some things you don't realize, but, you know, just in service of other people. Do you know what I mean? I think that's my father, teachers in service of other people. My mother was a nurse in service of other people. That's when I feel fulfilled. That's why I think I don't feel like I was doing that service of other people in the mutual fund industry. Don't get me wrong. There's a good case you can make on the other side, but that's where that comes from.
Well, thank you to your wife and to Brian for their service to our country. And Michael, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Really great conversation. I appreciate you making the time. God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being on.
You bet. You bet. Audience, I do want to acknowledge all the years that Michael did spend competing in sports. So let's close this week with a prayer for athletes and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and the talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood I have with all the athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.